You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime
Cheesehead
Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
So let's go out there and whip that ass.
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers going deep on second and two. He's got a leaping Devontae Adams.
He's the man.
First and goal. Rodgers hangs in the pocket, throwing into a lot of traffic, and it's caught with a touchdown.
Well, that defense is going to give a lot of teams struggles. We got a defense.
Aaron Rodgers.
Once again, we got a defense.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We are back with another episode of Cheesehead Radio, now in our 10th season. Your trio of hosts tonight are the invigorated Kelly Hodgson, that Packer girl on Twitter. Also joining us is the revivified C. D'Angeli, TundraVision on Twitter. And little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at JerseyAlGBP on Twitter. Once again, sponsoring Packers Talk Network are our good friends at Ticket King, who have been selling Packers, Badgers, concerts, Brewers, you name it, other tickets in Wisconsin for over 25 years. They've earned a reputation for excellent customer service and prices. There really isn't a better company to buy your tickets from. They've got an office right across the street from Lambeau Field. You can order your tickets online and pick them up there if you like. In any case, if you're looking for Packers tickets, be sure to check out their website, theticketking.com. That takes care of the formalities. Let's get this show on the road.
Who moved my cheek?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Cheesehead Radio, coming out of the bye week, we are refreshed and we are at our healthiest point of the season. So let's hit the ground running. We're going to talk about our award candidates from the first 10 weeks of the season. First of all, our Sharp Cheddar. Who are you listing as the MVP through the first 10 games of the season? Kelly.
No surprise here. I'm going with Aaron Jones. He's my Sharp Cheddar. When it took Rodgers a few games to find his groove, it was Jones who was there to carry the team on his shoulders. Now that they're both firing on all cylinders, the sky's the limit.
Well, I, on the other hand, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. Look, for everything that was written in the offseason about him, he has been the heart and soul of this team once again, even when he isn't the most productive member on the field that day. I fear for the day he retires when I look at the state of quarterbacks across the league, MVP.
All right, and my choice is not a single person, but rather the Smith brothers, Green Bay's new dynamic duo on defense.
All right, now we're going to go with our Swiss cheese. Who is your rookie or surprise player that you found to be invaluable so far this season, Kelly?
I'm going to do a riff on Al and break the rules a little bit. They aren't rookies, and they aren't exactly surprises, but they are new to the team. And I'm pleasantly surprised with the absolute impact of both Preston and Z. Smith they have brought to the Packer defense. As the great philosopher Aaron Rodgers once said, we have a defense.
Well, I'm going to go with the partnership as well. Now, for all the fun we had crying about every potential trade partner or free agent for a running back this offseason and the early part of the season, everyone came up, oh, we got to get him, we got to get him. And I kept thinking, we got Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. And they have made us realize that just maybe we don't need Le'Veon Bell. When one player is off, the other is on. And a lot of times lately, they're both on. Perfect tandem in the backfield.
Okay, and I am going to go with Elgton Jenkins, second-round pick, to not only come in and earn a starting job, but to consistently be one of the highest-rated guards in the league has been a major pleasant surprise.
And finally, we're going to go with our Limburger cheese. Who has been your least valuable player through 10 games? Kelly.
That would have to be Geronimo Allison for me. He came into the season as the likely number two wideout, and for the first 10 games, he's pretty much been missing in action.
I'm going to take the easy choice. It's too easy. And yes, I know he's improved the past few weeks, but Jimmy Graham has just been a lot of disappointment to redeem himself from over the last year and a half. He's just too much salary cap space being used on a guy that we have to force ourselves to celebrate if he actually makes a catch.
And for me, it has to be Rashawn Gary. While I'm not down on him for the long term, one would have expected the 12th pick in the draft to have been more involved than he has been so far.
There's more Packer talk coming up, so stay tuned. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King.
Oh, yeah.
Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to their website.
Do it.
TheTicketKing.com. Again, that's TheTicketKing.com.
The Playbook.
All right, welcome back. It's time for the playbook here on Cheesehead Radio. The Packers, wow, taking on the 49ers. This is a huge game, guys. I mean, 9-1, best record in the NFC against 8-2 Packers with a whole logjam of teams right there. This is big. The Packers are coming off a bye week, so they're healthy and refreshed. Kelly, what's your thoughts so far on the Packers getting this nice break for once? Seems like we were facing a lot of teams coming off their breaks earlier in the season.
For once, I think it's a good mental break for the Packers. In the past, we were the walking wounded heading into the bye week, and we wondered who was going to emerge alive at the end of it. But this time, it was a great time to just take a break. Granted, the Vikings, the Niners, and the Saints really did not help us at all in our standing. But I think we're energized, we're focused. I think all of those teams that were, especially the Niners and the Vikings, which we're going to face again, aren't as perfect as they appear. Yeah, they won this past week, but I think they have vulnerabilities. I think they weren't ironclad as we thought they were. And I think we'll talk about that a little bit more later, but I'm liking coming off a bye week in week 11.
Yeah, the amazing thing is that the Packers were so healthy, they didn't even really need a bye week. I mean, it's the craziest thing. If you look at their injury report, you look today, for example, who didn't practice, the only ones that didn't practice were all listed as veteran rest. Brian Bulaga, Jimmy Graham, Mercedes Lewis, Tremont Williams, right? The old guys. It's just incredible. I can't remember in the last decade their team being this healthy this far into the season. So add on to that another week of just sitting around, relaxing and working out and whatnot. And it's just an incredible, I mean, there's certainly no excuse for the Packers for everybody to not be at full strength. So conversely, you know, compare that with the 49ers, who have a bunch of people on their injury report, and it's looking good from that standpoint.
So, Al, just to
yes, Kelly,
to play off, and it's something you mentioned. It's one of the few times we're not the walking wounded. Do you think, and I think we've talked about this before, it's the new coaching schemes, their approach to practice, because the medical staff is just the same. We still have the same, for the most part, players. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I think it definitely has to be some of the things that LaFleur has done in terms of resting veterans and, you know, some different procedures that they're using during practice. You mentioned like the strength and conditioning, which everybody always used to love to blame and say, oh, it must be the strength and conditioning coach's fault. Well, he's still, you know, part of the strength and conditioning staff. He just kind of swapped roles with Chris Gizzi, who got promoted to the coordinator. So they're both still there. They're both on board. So we can't blame that. You could just say it's just absolute luck, right? That's the only other possibility, that they've just gone to Vegas and rolled the dice and it's come up perfect each time. I don't know what the best number is in craps to roll. I don't do that, but you get the analogy. So I've got to give it to the new coaching staff and the way they're conducting practices.
Yeah, I think you might be onto something. And the analogy I think of actually is my own kids' swim team. They had a couple old coaches the first couple of years they were on the team, and they just kind of ground my kids into shoulder injuries just by a lot of repetitive drills and stuff. We have new coaching with a newer approach, a more modern approach, dare I say, where the chronic use injuries seem to be down. So I wonder what LaFleur is. He's definitely a younger coach with newer ideas. If he's approaching drills much differently.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're seeing the number of soft tissue injuries that you did previously, you know. I mean, remember hamstrings, how everybody used to have a hamstring injury, you know, a few years? You're not seeing that this year. The people that are on the injury report, they're for things like turf toe, chest injury, finger injury, a hand injury. I'm just going down the list here. Shoulder, hand, concussion, hip, knee. One knee in the imagine that, one person with a knee injury on the injured list. So it's really uncanny. I don't know, you know, what really we can attribute it to.
But what really stands out is the lack of injuries among the offensive line. That's usually where people start dropping like flies for weeks on end, whether it's David Bakhtiari or Bram Blaga. Now I got to go find the nearest piece of wood and knock on it. But they always seem to take a beating year after year, and we're not seeing that. So whatever the Packers are doing in practice, they're doing it right.
Yeah, and they've been giving Bulaga a veteran rest day pretty much every week. You know, so that's super smart, right, if you think about it.
And I think that's the really modern approach to coaching, that it isn't the time you put in, but the quality of the hours you do use. And if you're switching it up, it's not necessarily hands-on drills. If you're getting your workout in different ways, I think that still can be very value-added to the week.
Absolutely. CD?
I think you guys are both missing what really makes this whole injury thing work. If you think about all these seasons where the Packers are out of the playoffs by week 10, did you ever notice how many guys suddenly have these nagging injuries that put them on IR to finish the season?
Oh, that's so cynical.
It's very cynical, but
so
you know
cynical.
What?
But true!
And suddenly we're healthy.
No, come on.
There may be something to that. It's.
I reject that idea.
No, because look at last year. They were a sinking ship, and just about everybody checked out at the end.
But they were sinking. People were checking out before they were a sinking ship. I mean, there were injuries from week one that was hobbling that team. So I don't know that you can make that an analogy.
We disagree quite a bit on things, Al, but you know that's something that I've stuck to for years, and that synergy and the positive mental attitude, it makes a huge difference. And I think it plays an impact in terms of whether guys really want to be out there on the field or not. And nagging injuries, you know, how many times have we seen Za'Darius Smith get hurt, get a stretcher, a med flight helicopter, and everything pulled off the field? We're like, oh my gosh, he's gone. And then he's out there like four plays later.
He just needed a rest.
with the med flight helicopter.
He's giving everybody else a rest.
Okay, the code cart was a little excessive.
That's a veteran move.
It probably is. And again, a cynical veteran move, you know, similar to the football flop in Italy. But this is definitely a team that's all in. They have bought in. They aren't phoning anything as far as the performances this year. There's definitely more accountability. I think everyone's taking ownership of their roles. There's not a whole lot of blame point. They were finger pointing all the time last year. So the attitude, no doubt, is different this year.
All right. Okay. Well, let's move on a little bit here. The Sunday Night Football game, this game has been flexed into prime time, so it's very exciting. Let's talk a little bit about the matchups. Probably our biggest concern for the Packers going against the 49ers. They're one of the run heaviest teams. I think second overall in the league in terms of how many times I think it's a little over 50% of the time they run the ball. So I keep hearing about this Garoppolo guy, and it's like, they're not asking him to do a whole lot when they're averaging 149 yards per game on the ground. The Packers, unfortunately, have the 25th ranked run defense. So this, do you guys see this being probably the critical element for this game? Al, we'll start with you.
You know, it definitely was leading up to this whole week, but just looking at, and it probably still is, but I just want to throw in again, going back to the injuries, I'm looking at the 49ers injury report, and their number one running back, Matt Breida, is on the report with an ankle, did not participate in practice today. Their number two running back is on the injury report with a knee injury. I don't know who their third string running back is. So I think you might see a little bit more of Jimmy Garoppolo this game, which I consider to be a good thing for the Packers. You know, because if you watched that game against Seattle, that Sunday night game, which was a very entertaining game, I mean, he was throwing some folly floaters out there, okay? And if linebackers had hands, there would have been like another three interceptions that game because, you know, he threw three directly right to linebackers. So I think it's going to be a good thing for the Packers, and I think that they'll be able to play a little more balanced on defense instead of overloading as much as they would have before against the run. But you're right in pointing out that is the or had been the 49ers' identity.
Yeah, I think the Packers have to come out strong at the beginning and really stuff the run. I think of the Dallas game. How much did Ezekiel Elliott really run against the Packers? It wasn't for much. And you know, that was the threat we had to contain was Zeke. Yeah, it gives me pause because that tends to be our Achilles heel on defense. But if we can stop it early and force Garoppolo into the air and really undiversify their offense, I think we'll be able to contain them.
Well, I'll totally agree. And I think, once again, this is the critical element. And they've had now a bye week to really go back and analyze some tape. You would think that after 10 weeks where really it's been the run defense constantly being an issue, this would be the time that if they're going to come up with a solution, it should be now. And it's a really you would think it's a really good test. So I think you're right, Kelly. We should see this very soon in the game if the Packers have shorted up against a pretty good team.
Yeah, the other interesting thing with the 49ers is who's going to be their kicker? Robbie Gould is still on the injury list. Is it going to be the same guy that missed the kick last week?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would, right? That's what I'm thinking.
Hey,
so
Al.
That's another thing. Yeah.
Isn't it so great to have somebody reliable like Mason Crosby?
The current edition of Mason Crosby, absolutely. The edition back in, I don't know, what was it, 2012 or 13, somewhere around there, not so much.
That was Sean.
It's been that long. It's been that long.
Sean Slocum did that.
Yeah.
Fire Slocum. So moving on. The other really interesting matchup, I think, for the Packers is we have this pretty good offense. Obviously, we have this guy named Aaron playing quarterback and this guy named Aaron at running back. But the 49ers defense has been ballyhooed. It has been touted as being one of the best. It's actually ranked second overall in the league to this day. I mean, we were talking like 150 yards a game is what it gives up. But most of the teams that they faced in the first 7 weeks the first 7 weeks were DVOA probably in the bottom third, maybe bottom quarter of the league in terms of their offense. The last 3 weeks, they've played some pretty solid top 10 offenses, and suddenly they're giving up 300 yards a game and 26 points per game. So we might be playing the best defense in the league, and we might not.
Funny how that works when you play good teams.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was actually a point that I was going to make was the first, like you said, seven or so games of the season. You know, they played some pretty bad teams in there. I mean, really, the only the only top team that you could really say they played would have been the Rams. You know, if you're going to pick like a top five or six team, but that was it.
They kind of wilted, though.
What's that?
Rams, they've kind of wilted this year. I wouldn't put them in the top tier. Maybe the
Well,
the
at the time that they played them, which was, I think, week three or whatever, they were still the Rams, you know. But that's whether you're going to put them where you know, you can put them wherever you want. They were still the best team that they played today.
That's true.
So.
But look at how we handled the Vikings the first time around. Yeah, they were pretty stout before and after us, and we handed them their backsides on a platter.
Yeah. Thank you to Kirk Cousins for helping out there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, this goes back to the Garoppolo thing. You know, to me, you want to make the 49ers pass the ball, and you want to make Garoppolo beat you just like they wanted to make Trubisky beat them, just the way they wanted to make Cousins beat them. Put it in the hands of the questionable quarterbacks and see what they can do. No, I was just going to say, worked out well against the Bears and the Vikings, that's for sure.
I love the prospect of the Smith brothers taking on Garoppolo because I think where he starts to really struggle is when defenders get in his head.
Got those happy feet.
He gets really happy feet, and I think you get one of the Smith brothers clobbering him, and then the other one comes a play or two later, and he's going to just fold.
That sounds like a plan, Kelly. Let's write that one up.
Smith brothers.
I like your game plan.
Clobber him. Early and often on primetime television.
Well, yeah. I mean, if Preston Smith or who was it? Za'Darius Smith gets another 14 pressures and in the game and Preston Smith gets a couple of sacks like the previous game. Yeah, I think we'll be doing okay.
We'll be doing
They definitely don't make me miss the players that we send packing.
Right.
We definitely upgraded. I'm really happy with the decisions in the offseason here.
Yeah. To that point, is Nick Perry in the league?
I don't think so. Let me check on the fly. I know that Clay has been out with a broken jaw, so he's had no impact with the Rams.
Oh no! If you listen to who was it? Chris Collinsworth said he was having a fantastic season.
He hasn't played in how many weeks?
His awesome jaw, season.
His jaw has been bolted together. one of the articles, the headline is Nick Perry, Eric Berry among surprising NFL free agents. So, yeah, he is unemployed right now.
Still. Okay, well, that'll tell you something.
Well, that's just the natural selection of football. If you're not ready to run with the big boys, your career gets cut short.
I wonder if any team has even, brought him in, for a workout or take a look.
I have not heard.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm just amusing myself here. Let's move on.
Well, last topic we're going to hit here before we go to our tweets. If there is an area that's been really hurting the Packers this season, Al, it's been the tight ends of other teams just slashing them.
Oh, my God.
And we've hemorrhaged, especially over the middle. So how do you think the Packers are going to shore that up over this bye week?
Well, that is the $64,000 question, to use a very old person term.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, boomer.
Absolutely. Oh, good. Somebody finally said that to me. I've been waiting.
Because he actually is a boomer. Go figure.
I know.
My kid keeps calling me a boomer. I'm like, no, I'm Gen X. Thank you very much. I'm not that old.
Not quite there yet. Not quite there yet, right? Tell them. So anyway, what can they do? Well, one thing for sure is not try to cover him with Blake Martinez, right? That's the first thing I'd say, top of my list. You're going to have to assign probably a safety. And this is if George Kittle plays. We really do not know at this point if he's going to play, right? Because he didn't practice today. He's got an injury, an ankle and a knee, I believe. So that's still probably going to be a game time decision. But regardless, whoever's playing tight end, it's always a concern because the Packers have made pretty average tight ends look like, you know, Tony Gonzalez this year. So one thing that is going to help is the return of Ibrahim Campbell, right? So they're going to be able to have somebody to play that third safety, which Pettine likes to do. And hopefully Campbell certainly is has shown he's aggressive and he can move, and he's probably the best bet to keep up with a guy like George Kittle or whoever's playing tight end. So I think it's going to be a combination of those things, and God, let the Packers do better against a tight end in this game than they have in other games.
Yeah, that's been a big disappointment. It always seems like it's a mismatch. Like you mentioned Blake Martinez. I think one of the other times it was Preston Smith in the end zone. I'm like, what the heck is he doing back there?
Yeah, yeah.
And another mismatch I think might be Kevin King. He should not be going up against the giant guys because he gets out-muscled. He's not super huge.
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of on the frail side, right?
Yeah, it's that's a mismatch that tends to get exploited, you know, when you have the size differential. So I think they really need to maybe not do is it zone that's a problem in situations like that? Do they need to actually identify?
Yeah, because you're not going to see Kevin King matched up with a tight end. They're not going to do that on purpose unless they're in zone and the tight end heads right to Kevin King in his zone. Then you don't have a choice. They have played a lot more zone the last three or four games than I might have expected. And I'm kind of wondering in the back of my mind if we're going to see a change here for this game.
I would hope
they
so.
Go back, to pressure the receivers, pressure the quarterback, and, you know, go with that game plan. I mean, I think that's the way I would think.
Yeah, and I think you definitely still have to go muscle against muscle. I'd like to see Amos possibly take on Kittle.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
All right. Well, that brings us to a close of our first round. Let's head to this week's Tweets of the Week.
This week's gems from the Packers Twitterverse.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this week's Packers Tweets of the Week. We're going to go through three of our favorite tweets that we saw this week on Packers Twitter. We're going to go through each of them, and then we're going to vote on which one we think is the best, and that'll be this week's Tweet of the Week. We're going to start first of all with Jersey Al.
Okay, so there is a report out on Twitter that the Bears-Rams game was the lowest rated and least watched Week 11 edition of Sunday Night Football since 2007. Well, responding to that was Chris Lempesis, who is part of Packers Talk and has his own podcast here, Lemp's Talking Pack. So Chris responded to that with this tweet. This right here is why the networks load the Bears up early with national games every year. Got to get the Chicago market early before it becomes clear they suck. Got greedy this year, and you see the result.
Love Lempesis.
He's not wrong, you know.
No.
Of course not.
My tweet comes this week from a Twitter user named Reflog_18. Little philosophical thoughts on different teams in the league. He says, worries when playing NFL teams. Patriots beat you strategically. Chiefs beat you through the air. Ravens beat you on the ground. Seahawks beat you with the 12th man. Niners beat you on defense. Packers beat you in the elements. Browns beat you with your own helmet.
That's cold.
Oh. All right, Kelly.
All right. Now, I know he meant it in a philosophical way, but we're going to have to consider the source. Well, the tweet comes from none other than Devontae Adams, and he quotes the great philosopher Booger McFarland. So take intention and delivery as two different things. And he quotes, games in this league are lost more than they're won, Booger McFarland. Do we tell them for every loss, there's an equal win? Was Booger being philosophical or was Booger being literal? We'll never know.
And we don't care.
Exactly.
Because it's Booger.
Yeah.
Because he may really think they lose more often.
Jersey Al, you can't vote for yourself. Who's your choice for this week's Tweet of the Week?
Well, CD, I think the tweet you dug up was absolutely brilliant. I love it.
All right.
So you would be my choice.
Thank you. And I have to go with Lempesis. Very good commentary on the Bears and how much they actually suck. So Kelly, once again, gets to decide the winner of this week's Tweet of the Week.
I loves me some donuts.
No.
Yes.
Wow. Wow, this was an upset victory for me.
That is an upset.
This was an upset victory.
Oh.
Okay, to quote the Princess Bride, anytime you can have humiliation galore, I'm all for a little bear schadenfreude.
Gosh.
You know, speaking of the, I got a boomer moment for you here. Speaking of the Princess Bride, do you know that I had never seen that movie?
No.
I'd never seen that movie.
My favorite movie.
Until I was on a plane coming back from Italy, basically. So I got to watch like four different movies, and some of them were more current movies, and I was going through the list. I saw Princess Bride. This is the movie that everybody talks about on Twitter. Let me watch this thing. So I did. I watched it, and... it was okay.
I'm not a witch. I'm your wife.
It was okay. It was you know, a takeoff on the Monty Python style movies, which I'm a big fan of. So maybe I looked at it through those glasses as if they're trying to, you know, go in the same vein. So there were funny moments, but no way I would say it was as good as everybody seems to make it out to be.
Dude, it's totally Rob Reiner humor. So let me do the overplayed statement tonight. Okay, boomer.
Okay, there you go. I gave you your opportunity. Get off my lawn with that Princess Bride stuff.
He's only mostly dead.
Anyway, moving along.
All right, Lempesis. And since you've apparently somehow won this week's Tweet of the Week, congratulations.
Hail Mary. Won that Hail one. Mary. Hail Mary.
Yeah. Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
All right, welcome back to the second half of the Packers playbook. Just looking at a little news article this week, a lot of unrestricted free agents. I know we're only in week 10. I know we got 6 weeks to go and we have a Super Bowl to win, but at the end of the season, it's interesting to look at our list that maybe last year at this time, or maybe even during the offseason, we weren't quite as concerned, but there's some decisions to make here for our UFAs. Brian Bulaga. That might have been one last year at this time. We would have just said, time to write him off. He's having a Pro Bowl, maybe an All-Pro year this year. Tremont Williams. So the Packers are only about $26 million under the cap for 2020. That's not a lot of space. And we happen to know a certain quarterback that may be taking up a big chunk of that. What are your approaches to some of these UFAs on the team? Kelly, we'll start with you on this one.
Okay, looking at the list, we have 11 players. I think we have to get rid of at least, three sound reasonable? Bulaga I would definitely keep because even if we draft his replacement, it's going to take a year or two to get him up to speed. I like how Bulaga is right now. He's healthy, and he's not the broken down made of glass Bulaga of years past. Crosby, until something better comes in, I think we keep him. Granted, we could probably have probably be another shootout at camp. Geronimo, I am so unimpressed with him this year. He has not developed or grown as a player. I'm okay with him walking or taking a substantial cut, but I would be okay with him walking. The other one is Fackrell. He had this great year last year, but he also had a bunch of stupid mistakes, and he's really kind of faded into the woodwork. Those are the ones I can really see not coming back.
Okay. Geronimo, I will agree with. Fackrell, I will agree with. I'll throw in Tanyan because I think Sternberger. Tanya. I think Sternberger is going to surpass him. Lazard, I would keep. I think he'd be cheap enough to keep. Same thing with Kumaro. Abraham Campbell would be nice to keep. Crosby would be nice to keep. Tyron Williams is, I mean, I think if he still wants to play, I think they will bring him back. I think he's such a great influence on that team. And he's really had a resurgence this year. He really has. So Bulaga, again, like you said previously, you would have thought that this would have been it for him. But I think they can hopefully keep him. And I think he would be amenable to a team-friendly contract to stay in Green Bay as opposed to go somewhere else. So I'm not dropping a lot of people. Blake Martinez, that's the tough one, you know? I mean,
that it is.
Productive as hell, but how helpful.
But he's a little bit like AJ Hawk. He's got a positive presence, but he's not an impact player.
I know. But you would have to make a move there to replace him. I mean, you couldn't just go with what's on the roster right now, you know. So
no, you'd either have to win in the draft or in free agency. And I don't know how we're not going to have a really high draft choice this year because we're just not.
Yeah.
I've said this before about Blake Martinez, and I defend him a little bit because I know he's gotten a lot of flack this year, but you're right. He's a lot like AJ Hawk. You know, he's a good complementary player. If he has a really solid playmaking inside linebacker next to him, he's going to be able to do the job he needs to do. But right now he's being asked to do the job of both inside linebackers. That's not his wheelhouse. Right. The trouble is if you leave Blake Martinez out, you still really have to fill two inside linebacker positions with impact players. So, but I don't know if they have the room under the cap to bring in an impact linebacker. And certainly Owen Burks is, you know, hasn't been the guy. Maybe Ibrahim can come in and do that a little bit, but I don't know. I don't know if I let Blake Martinez go.
Yeah, the thing, though, is the majority of the time the Packers are not playing with two inside linebackers. It's Martinez as the only inside linebacker and then an extra defensive back, you know, usually Raven Green earlier in the year until he got hurt, and now probably Campbell, you know, coming in as like a third safety and maybe kind of a hybrid inside linebacker. So I don't know that you necessarily need to replace two inside linebackers if you let him go, but you definitely have to have somebody good if you're going to let him go.
Can't
just have an Oren Burks or what was his name? Ryan. What's his first name?
Jake
Ryan. Yeah. You can't just have a guy like that. You would need a really good one.
So he's more of a placeholder in an insurance policy until we can upgrade on it, in all honesty. He's not awful, but he's not fabulous. Mm-hmm. And if you surround him with talent, I think we can get by. I do like the fifth secondary as a defensive scheme. I think we were a little more aggressive that way. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I think maybe he does stay. And if you look at who we just cut, we didn't cut anyone super expensive or let anyone super expensive walk. Geronimo Allison is thinking he's going to want a big giant salary, but I don't think he's worth it. The biggest, who's the biggest salary in there? Is it Bulaga or is it Crosby? Because I think we're keeping both.
It's Bulaga.
Yes.
Pretty sure it's Bulaga, right?
So remember, we can also let Jimmy Graham go. And
well, that's $11 million point, right there. Right. That's the point I was just going to make. Every year, the Packers let somebody go, you know, to save money. Daniels this year it was. So next year, it could easily be Graham or who else? I mean, is there anybody else you can think of that's making a lot of money that they could just let go?
I saw somebody just, and I think they were serious, and I just had to laugh, was Bakhtiari. I'm like, are you nuts? Yeah, he's not having the best season, but I wouldn't cut him for it.
Yeah, stupid person, whoever that
was. Hot take.
Stupid person. stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the expensive people come down to Bulaga, Crosby. I don't even think Tremont's making that much because he brought him back like on a fire sale, didn't we?
Yeah, I don't think he's making as much as Bulaga
or
Crosby even, maybe. I think Crosby's one of the highest paid kickers in the league.
Yeah, I think he is. But I think when you look at the talent, especially the receivers you're keeping, like Lazard and Kummerall, you're definitely playing money ball there. You're getting your money's worth for not a whole lot of cash.
Yeah. Let
me see. But Lazard, though, if he continues to have as good of a season as he is appearing to have, he's going to want significantly more cash, but we'll see.
Yeah, so I'm just looking up the contracts. Bulaga actually doesn't make as much as I thought. His average salary on the contract was $6.75 million with $8 million guaranteed money. Jimmy Graham's average salary was $10 million.
Oh, my God. Get rid of him. That's an easy answer right there.
Billy Turner, $7 million. He hasn't exactly lit the offensive line on fire. They paid Dean Lowry $6.7 million, which I think is kind of overpaying. But we got Crosby at $4 million and Tremont at $5 million. Those are the main names we were talking about where they could save some money.
I thought Tremont was cheaper. However, Tremont, because his value league-wide, come on, the Browns let him go. He could negotiate for cheaper just to stay in play, so to speak.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, well,
I think the bigger conversation is cutting the chaff elsewhere, like Jimmy Graham and Turner, and yeah.
All right. Well, if you remember, we do have a game to play here. So before we get to free agency, interesting note today I noticed from the sporting news that this is actually only the fifth time since 2007 that teams with two or fewer losses have played each other this late in the season. Now, the winners of the last two such games, the Broncos in 2015, the Seahawks in 13, went on to win Super Bowls at the end of those seasons. So making the analogy that if recent history...
This is the Super Bowl, in other words.
This is your ticket to be punched for the Super Bowl. Al, do you buy this?
If you're selling it, I'm buying it.
What if we lose? Are you buying it?
No.
No.
Then I'm saying it was snake oil that I bought.
But it is.
That's interesting. That is interesting.
It's really huge, though. It really is.
But that's just one of those silly little things.
I think it just goes to show that the strongest team in each circumstance just went on to win. So they beat teams that they needed to beat, and they carried that momentum into the playoffs. That's all it says.
Well, we talk about this how often, too. Maybe early in the season, you know, that loss to the Eagles or maybe even the loss to the Chargers are a good lesson for the Packers. You know, it was a little bit of humility. It was a little bit of reason for them to go back to the drawing board in the locker room and shore some things up. But, you know, a game like this, you know, the Eagles and the Chargers aren't exactly they're not lighting the world up. But a loss to the 49ers, I mean, this could be, you know, it is. It's probably a psychological crushing loss. And this is one I think you really want the Packers to show up for. You want them to hit on all three cylinders. And if we're going to lose, at least lose going all the way with, you know, leaving everything out on the field and not something where we're looking like we're half-assing it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we actually make it to the playoffs, we're invariably going to see them again if we make it that far. So I think it's a true test of whether we deserve the preseason, honestly. Like you said, this is the first truly tough team. I'm going to write the Chargers off as a trap game. And I'm looking at, like, we're not going to play Seattle this year. We're not going to play a tough Bears at the end of the season. Yeah, I think we need to rise to the occasion for this game. There's no doubt about it.
Speaking of which, how big is this game? And maybe this stat is going to be a little bit more impressive for us than Sporting News trying to extrapolate some stuff from things years ago. Ryan Wood put this out on Twitter this week, and I really noted it. If the Packers win this game, they are going to leapfrog the 49ers in the NFC standings. In other words, they almost control their own destiny at this point. They would become the first seed in the playoffs if the season were to end after next week with the win.
Mm-hmm.
But there are five other NFC teams that have 8 wins. The Packers are one of them. Literally, they could win and have home field through the playoffs, or we could be playing a wild card game on the road with a loss.
No.
How big is this game?
Well, you certainly try to build it up, aren't you?
Absolutely.
You're trying very hard, aren't you?
Absolutely. This is what we're fans for, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's provided we don't screw up the rest of the season. I think we're putting the cart in front of the horse bit right here.
Right, we could win this game and then lose to the Giants the next week.
Exactly. I'm going to touch on this later in my hot pocket, but yeah, it's kind of a big deal. But at the same time, I'm not saying the season's over and the playoff run is over if we lose.
We still got to play those pesky Vikings.
And we have to play the Bears, which it's always a tougher matchup than it looks on paper.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, that's enough of that. I think it's time to get to this week's Hot Pockets. All right, guys, it's time for this week's Hot Pockets. This is our chance to get something off our chest, a last little riff from each of our hosts. This week, we're going to start with Jersey Al.
All right, so it's been the bye week, so meaningful Packers news has been few and far between. There was one thing I was expecting, or maybe just hoping, to be reading about this week, and it concerns Kenny Clark. After a few weeks of not looking like himself while battling several injuries and getting little help from his defensive cohorts, Clark was once again dominant in the center of the Packers' defense against the Panthers. Surely the Packers are discussing a contract extension for Clark, who should be a core defensive stalwart for the Packers for years to come. I was hoping that the Packers would use the bye week to get an extension done, but so far, no such news. For his part, Clark says he's not worried about or focused on his contract, but if you ask me, the Packers should be. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
The last couple of years, I've always come out of the bye week with a little trepidation. It always felt like the team was coming apart and the wheels were flying off the cart. But this year, I'm pretty calm and content, and actually a little happy with the direction the team is headed. The Packers are always guaranteed that they'll have a better record than last year, even if they lose every single game left. But I really don't think they're going to do that. Last year, I was just hoping for the 2018 Green Bay Packers to be quietly put out of their misery. After McCarthy was shown the door, I just wanted the season to end. But this year, I'm looking toward January and the possibilities of what happens after Week 17. Sure, a playoff run is not guaranteed at this point, and I don't think the Packers are going to lose the rest of their games. In fact, I think we will see a postseason. It's more than I could have ever imagined last January, and I look to the final stretch of the season. I cannot be anything but hopeful. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
All right. This is what we, as true football fans, should live for. Let's give it up for two teams with the two best records in the NFC facing off in prime time. Let's not forget what really makes this big. It's the history of the games these two teams have played against each other. Let's face it, the Packers and 49ers are interconnected. From us plying away Mike Holmgren from them for a draft pick back in 1992, to that amazing playoff history that these teams have enjoyed against each other over the years. No one will ever forget the embarrassment the upstart Packers handed the 49ers in 1995, when Craig Newsome returned a fumble for a touchdown and stood resolute in the end zone, like he belonged there. This was followed the next year by the Mud Bowl game in the Super Bowl season for the Packers at home, in Lambeau Field. And then another playoff win en route to their second Super Bowl. But in 1998, a controversial call in which Jerry Rice was stripped of the ball, but the 49ers kept it, and resulted in the famous The Catch that knocked the Packers out of the playoffs and ended the Holmgren era. And of course, in 2012, the Colin Kaepernick game, which knocked the Packers out of the playoffs in embarrassing fashion. You can say one thing. These two teams have a history of embarrassing each other in big games. So let's see what happens Sunday night. As I said, if you're a football fan, this is what you live for. And that is my
Cheesehead Radio, Packers game predictions.
All right, guys, this game is the ultimate test for the Packers and perhaps the ultimate test for the 49ers. Sunday Night Football, you can't ask for bigger stakes in a regular season game. The winner takes control of the number one seed. The loser falls back into a scrum of teams vying for the other five seeds. It's not a must win, but it's a boy you'd sure like to win this one. Your predictions, Kelly, we'll start with you.
I kind of lied earlier. This is kind of a big deal game. This is the test of whether the Packers are the real deal or just a fortuitous flash in the pan with a new coach. This game isn't about home field advantage through the playoffs, but the Packers are battling the Niners totally for home field advantage through the playoffs. A win here could be a tiebreaker with San Francisco later. Now, don't get me wrong. The Niners are the team to beat. They're poised for a deep run in January, no doubt. But the 3-7 Cardinals kept it relatively close last week and proved the Niners have shatter points. Maybe I'm an insufferable homer, Maybe I'm nostalgic for the Packers that did the impossible as time elapsed in that 1995 game. That was the last field goal I've ever watched of a Packer player. And maybe it's just Rodgers plays enlightened ball when he's got a chip on his shoulder against a team that blew him off in the draft. It's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be Packers 24, Niners 21. Last one with the ball wins.
All right. Which Packer team shows up on Sunday Night Football? The team that folded like a deck of cards to the Los Angeles Chargers? The team that had to hold on to win against the Carolina Panthers? Or the team that won running away against the Oakland Raiders? Look, the 49ers are good, but they haven't always played top-tier competition, and they do have holes that can be exploited if the Packers show up and play well in all three phases of the game. If they don't, it's 7-3 and another long plane ride home from the West Coast. I'm guessing that is not what's going to happen in what I think is going to be a game for the ages, Packers 38, 49ers 35.
Ooh, lots of defense in that one. Okay, as far as my pick, a few weeks ago, I likely would have picked the 49ers to win this game. But their last three games have convinced me that they may not be as good as their record. I love the Packers coming off a bye, and as healthy as they are, I expect to see everyone's best on Sunday night. It'll be a wild one, but I've got my money on the Packers, 27-21.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio in our 10th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review if you can. You can listen to us by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatching app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, please be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. Bring on the Niners, boys. It's big time football on primetime. That's a wrap. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. Good night, all.
Cheesehead Radio.